Okay, I'm happy to be here, and I will just introduce our team. There are a couple people who are not with us, but there are a couple people who are. Nina Schultz, Maddie Wachman, both of whom really did the lion's share of the data collection on this project. Britta Orwell, Esther Velasquez, who are not here, who were really important to our efforts. We are reporting on health in all MSW programs, and we did a national analysis of all 224. Like Elaine, I have no financial interests or relationships to disclose, and neither do either of my colleagues. This work is part of our working group. We are the Group for Public Health Social Work Initiatives, and we were formed in 2003. We continue to be independent, but we are affiliated with Boston University. So we work in education, professional development, education, and transdisciplinary activities. I'm going to talk a little bit about ACA, introduce an impact model, focus on social work education and how it's teaching about health, and identify for how MSW programs can respond a little bit to the new healthcare landscape. So we all know it's changing times. Most of us in social work are pretty aware there's a lot of drivers. It's not just the Affordable Care Act. Lots of aspects of our contemporary landscape are changing the way we do our practice in social work, but I call the Affordable Care Act a super driver. And by now, everyone is pretty familiar with what has become known as the triple aim of the Affordable Care Act, although it actually includes more than three goals, but the three goals that we're talking about here are improving patient outcomes, controlling costs, and improving population health. And so the part that we're going to be focusing on today is the population health improvements. This is a public health conference. We're talking about population well-being. ACA is using a lot of different strategies to get us where we want to go, including prevention and integration, which we're going to be hearing a little bit about also. Our focus on prevention and population health through the Affordable Care Act is actually pretty new for the U.S. We do not historically spend a lot of money on prevention. Still, today, 96% of all healthcare dollars are spent on intervention after diseases have occurred. And I would probably say that probably 96% of social work practice focuses on disease and problems after they have occurred. We have now a new national prevention strategy that includes some funding for prevention that we're anxiously trying to hold on to for the purposes of prevention and protect it from being cannibalized by other aspects of the Affordable Care Act, but in any case, we're ever hopeful. Just to quickly define population health, we're talking about the health outcomes of groups of individuals, including the differences in those groups and what we would call health inequalities. Measuring health inequalities in and between groups tells us about how we socially construct health in our society, including how much health is associated with education, with class, with race, with access to care issues. And we know that there are tremendous inequalities associated with all of these issues. Policies and interventions that improve public health are often known as wide lens approaches, and these are historically tied to the greatest gains in population well-being. We are all in social work in love with what I would call close-up, micro, one-on-one, but this is not the stuff that improves population health, it turns out. It improves individual health, not population health. So when we're talking about wide lens approaches, I want to really kind of just emphasize again, we're talking about prevention, health promotion, population level, interventions that study and try to ameliorate structural causes of health inequalities, what we would call those social determinants of health, and the integration of health into all policies, and that's actually the name of our conference next year, Health in All Policies. So again, just to reiterate, these wide lens approaches are what yield the big improvements broadly in population health, and they're highly linked to what we all cherish in social work, the social justice known as health equity. So I want to talk a little bit about how ACA, just very mentioning it, how ACA is affecting us and is likely to affect us. It is a stressful time in social work. I just came from the Society for Social Work Leadership and Healthcare. They're a little stressed out about responding to the Affordable Care Act demands, but there are also opportunities there. The ones I want to focus on our prevention, public health, social work, and wide lens approaches here. But that's in no way taking away from all the variety of opportunities, and again, we're going to hear a little bit more about those from my fellow presenters. This is not new stuff for us. We have always been interested in wide lens approaches in social work. This is our origin, okay? We started in infectious disease and maternal and child health and settlement houses and clean water, clean milk, healthy baby. So it's not new. Today, most social work is micro, though. And even though there are more than half a million social workers in the United States, and on any given day, 1%, roughly 1.6 million people are in a healing relationship with a social worker, most of that is what we would call close-up, one-on-one, clinical relationship. Health is generally viewed as a niche area of practice, and that's a problem for us because in public health, we understand to be health as an overarching conceptual framework by which we talk about human well-being. But within our profession of social work, it gets nicheified. All right. Is that a word? I'm not sure. That might not be a word. But ACA, you go. ACA really gives us a chance to redefine ourselves. So that's part of what's exciting about this moment, and to stretch to these wide lens. So the challenge is not to abandon clinical and macro practice as we are currently conceptualizing it, but to enhance it and to really find a model that can help us describe what we do. We have been playing with Frieden's model from the CDC. He's a popular guy, not right now because of his activities related to Ebola, but he's really a great man, and he is a good doctor, and we love him, and we are using his health impact model and trying to adapt it for social work to show one way to conceptualize our health impact. So if you think about where most of our work takes place, close up, it's not the only place where social workers can work, though. And what's so unique about our profession is our ability to climb up and down this particular triangle. We actually get to work on health equity. It's called macro social work, community practice. We also have people in government. Right now, the person who is directing White House policy on HIV/AIDS is a social worker, Douglas Brooks. And we know there are a lot of people doing prevention and health promotion and resilience and protective work, but they may or may not call their work prevention. And that's actually a problem for us because then they don't get recognized as part of the public health workforce. And then, of course, there is historically our work in close-up and counseling and therapy and interventions and psychosocial support, which are very important, but they're not the whole story. So the good news is most of our health work is happening down there at the bottom of the triangle, but we have the capacity to run up and down this triangle, or we may change this model, so it's not a triangle. We're going to find some way to do it. The important thing is social work and health can really become much more familiar with and impactful at all levels, and that will allow us to really hone in on our social justice health equity work, and it's going to require focus and intention. So then this sort of begs the question of, well, what are we teaching about this? And obviously we need to know more about how we're teaching and what we're teaching. I don't want to linger over this. These are big issues, we all know. It's the major employer of social workers. We got to know how social workers are functioning in this health system, non-system. Literature review, I threw this in here. This is not new stuff. There's historic concern that graduating students are not prepared for practice in health. There are people in this room who, together with me and Elaine, have been talking about public health social work for many years, and about public health content and social work education. And then we're really good at identifying gaps, particular issue gaps, not so good at conceptualizing a big framework for how we're going to address that. And then, amusingly enough, the last review of health content in social work education was in 1997. And so our effort to redo that really is what this presentation is all about today. I'm gonna move through this quickly. You know we need to know, in order to broaden and maximize our impact, what is going on. So this was our effort to try to get there. We call it the Health and All MSW programs. We got to this a year early. If we had waited a year, people wouldn't have been asking us why that weird title. Okay, but in fact, Health and All Policies is a global public health strategy for improving wide lens population health. And we cribbed it because we really want to drive home that we believe all social work is health social work, and that there should be health in all MSW programs, including and perhaps maybe even emphasizing wide lens and public health approaches in social work. Here's our rationale. Again, we want to understand. We really wanted to look at schools holistically. What do schools say about their mission statements? How do they think about health? How do they think about it and package it in their curricula? How do they think about it and offer it? We looked at MSW programs, health concentrations, also go by the name of specializations, areas of practice, certificate programs, and then, of course, courses. So we tried to look holistically at schools. We used a content analysis approach, and we did all of this during These two people did all of this during spring of 2014, and both Nina and Maddie are MSW MPH students who have completed their MSWs and are working now on their public health degrees. So we looked at all of this. We used the CSWE website of all accredited programs, and when we weren't able to get what we needed from websites, we went to the course catalogs and then burrowed down deeper into the student handbooks. Three rounds of coding, I think that's probably an underestimate. I think it's the iterative process was alive and well at Boston University, but we really wanted to make sure we could get inter-rater reliability way up, and we did. Not easy defining what health was. You would think it was. If we spend a lot of time in public health, we always say, oh, health is a condition, you know, so all the stuff we do to assure the conditions, people can be healthy. Not so easy within social work. We have a lot of euphemistic language that we use. We had to really first identify what health content was and then identify what we meant by wide lens, public health content. Not so easy. We got to it. It took a while, and we really anchored ourselves in the health impact model. So coding, when we coded very quickly, we coded the mission statements. We coded them yes if they included any general health terms, and then we coded them wide lens if they included public health terms, health equity, prevention. We did the same thing with course coding. We looked at all health and health-related courses. So is trauma health? I think so. We coded it. Is it wide-angle health? We don't know until we look at it a little bit more. So we did a lot of this coding and then subcoding again and again. Eventually, we were able to identify what our wide-lens course content was. These people looked at 8,000 courses. It wasn't easy. Health concentrations refers to multiple ways that MSW programs can focus student interest on health. Again, health concentrations, anything that was health. Health and aging, health and animal-assisted well-being, health and you name it, trauma. And then wide lens, if they included wide lens courses, at least two. So I'm going to turn it over to Maddie to let her talk about the cool findings.
So this is an overview of our sample. Our study captured almost all of the accredited MSW programs. 222 had complete information and one had partial information. And also notably, about one-fifth of schools had MSW MPH programs, which, as we know, is an increasing trend. So of the 215 schools that had published mission statements online, very few contained any health language, and even fewer programs had wide lens health language. And here are some examples to illuminate what we mean by health language and wide lens health language. So as you can see in the first example, health is an area, or mental health in this case, is an area of practice. And in the second example, health is a major conceptualization together with well-being and social justice. So we looked at a lot of courses. And the majority of schools had some health-related course. And of those health-related courses, most of them were classified in the individual level, about three-quarters of them. We also noticed a trend. Few schools were using medical social work. More schools were using terms such as behavioral health. Also a trend from away from addictions more towards substance use and abuse. So wide lens courses. not many schools offered Wildlands courses. The majority didn't, and about 20% offered one. And here are some examples of Wildlands courses overlaid on our social work health impact model. And these are just titles, but they met criteria in their description. So concentrations. About a third of schools had traditional health concentrations. More schools had concentrations that were coupled with other topics, mental health, trauma, and in line with our mission statements and courses, very few schools offered Wildlands health concentrations, which we defined as requiring two or more courses. So here's an example of a health concentration. As you can see, and it's hard to discern from the title, most of these courses are at the individual level. And here's an example of a Wildlands health concentration. And public health social work is the name of it. And we have both practice coupled with Wildlands classes. So some limitations. Our study was just a snapshot in time. We are dependent on what schools published online. So some schools might be offering different things that they haven't updated their websites. And also there was differences in how much content. Some schools just had a title and one or two sentences about courses or concentrations. Some schools had more robust descriptions. And we were at the mercy of titles and descriptions. Ideally, we could read syllabi or sit in on classes to really get a sense of how schools are conceptualizing health, but we didn't have time for that. And lastly, as Betty touched on, it was difficult to nail down what health language is and sort through all the euphemisms. So I'm going to turn it over to Nina.
So what are the implications of everything that Maddie and Betty just talked about? Despite the limitations, by looking at websites, we were able to get a really broad sense of what's going on in social work education. And so, first of all, we noticed that we're really all over the place with wide-ranging conceptualizations of health and preparation for health and social work practice. Most schools offer some health content, but the vast majority is clinical practice in health settings. The changing terminology reflects really variable views on health. There were some small trends visible. For example, the use of medical social work was less and behavioral health terms were greater. As Betty said, health content is generally framed as a niche area of practice rather than an overarching framework for population health. And we weren't able to see any competencies for health and social work practice, no agreement about skills needed, anything like that. So specific Wildlands observations, there's very limited Wildlands content in courses and concentrations, while the majority of schools had no Wildlands content whatsoever. Within the mission statements, a few schools really talked about health to anchor their mission statements, and even fewer used any Wildlands or broad conceptualization of health. Some schools did show signs of shifting their education toward Wildlands approaches, but it was a small minority of schools. And one notable thing was the growth in MSW MPH programs. However, we're really not sure what the implications of that would be. It's possible there could be a paradoxical effect on social work education where it's sort of seen as a domain of the public health program, and therefore Wildlands approaches aren't integrated into social work education as much. So that's really unknown, but it is notable that the programs are growing. Key takeaways. No profession can stay outside the changing ACA environment and thrive. Health inequities, the downturn in nation's health, cannot be arrested without population health approaches. And social work has a really has the potential for an important role within the ACA environment, including promotion and population health. However, from our study, we really see the disconnect between practice and social work education. And this is going to come at a high price in this current environment. So to be effective, social work really needs to widen its lens to include prevention and Wildlands approaches, what Reich calls a return to the future for social work and social work education. So we have some recommendations for social work education, how we can improve. really to recalibrate to respond to the ACA environment will require us to shift from viewing health as a niche area of practice to broadly conceptualizing health to see that all social work is health social work. To rebrand social work as a force for health equity through explicitly focusing on social determinants of health and intentionally practicing at all levels of the health impact, social work and health impact pyramid that Betty talked about. To really identify and integrate ACA skills into social work education, such as health advocacy, policy analysis, coaching, measurement of health outcomes, and wide lens approaches, prevention. Also, we think there's a good potential for enhancing traditional social work practice skills. Social work has really important things to contribute, such as cultural responsiveness, person and environment perspective, integration, care coordination, and these are all things that social work can really elevate to make it relevant under the ACA environment. And the urgent need for collaboration to bridge academic, research, and practice branches within social work. So lastly, a few ideas and future directions. For us, it's to continue to refine the social work and health impact model, that triangle that Betty presented, and to expand and disseminate the findings from the study. For the field as a whole, to really discern what are the essential skills for practicing social work within the ACA environment. And this will include cross-professional efforts to increase wide lens approaches in education, but also in research and practice. And lastly, really identifying opportunities for transdisciplinary collaboration that can feature public health social work, prevention, and wide lens approaches. So just a final quote to leave you with. Says, it is the responsibility of social workers in the healthcare field to adapt their practice skills, education for practice, and their research focus to increase the likelihood that healthcare reform will produce its intended results of greater well-being and a reduction in health disparities. Some acknowledgments.
And how did I just...
Yeah. We have copies. Okay, well, yeah, that was a great...